We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station.
All right, here we go from St. Joe. It's Cody and Gold, a full day of practice, another hour or so of practice up here in St. Joe. Cody, it's open to the public today. Yesterday was just the season ticket holders, and you can definitely tell a little bit more of a crowd out here today. Another hot one up in St. Joe, and we'll talk plenty of Chiefs football throughout the day. Of course, some of the observations that we have, and in about an hour, we're expected to be joined by Travis Kelce, best tight end in football, and we'll get some clarity on the name stuff. We'll make sure we're all settled, we're good to go in 2021. We'll also, of course, ask him about his Madden 99 club, which I looked at the numbers between him and Tyreek Hill. There's a few that are interesting to me when it comes to the jumping in particular.
You remember, you correct yourself. It's wide receiver Travis
that's
Kelce.
Right, that's
expecting
right.
To join us. On this show, we only acknowledge him as a wide receiver. That's how I've handled it.
Yeah.
For the better part of a year right now.
It has been about almost a year. I think it was the middle. It was like week three or four of last season where you made the transition, and to your credit, people jumped on it. And
yeah,
now, you know, he's tied in, but overall, he puts up the numbers like a wide receiver. And so we'll chat with Travis Kelce coming up at 11 o'clock. Also expecting later on in the show to hear from Chris Jones. We were keeping an eye on him. We had a chance before we hopped on the air to watch a little bit of the drills. It was kind of interesting. At first, we're like, is he all right? You know, he wasn't going through some of the drills like everybody else, and then eventually he did. So we don't know if he was just kind of taking it easy on a hot day. It's day two. They don't even have the pads on. Let's relax a little bit with it.
He did yell at the fans. They were starting to cheer. He's like, I need this energy. It's hot. So
yeah.
It could just be as a matter of it's hot, really hot today at camp, probably the hottest day of camp.
Supposed to be 100.
The entire year. I can't imagine anyone would enjoy practicing in this. And so some of it is probably just simply that. But one guy who is missing, who is not missing for those reasons, is Anthony Hitchens. You might remember yesterday Andy Reid had announced later on in the day that he had suffered from a hamstring injury, and he's not out there with the linebackers in the early going. We don't know how serious that injury is yet, so there's no reason to be like, oh, God, what do they do at linebacker if that's the situation? But as much as they've called him the quarterback of the defense, that would be concerning if he has to miss any other time. But day one of camp, yesterday, day two of camp, I wouldn't see any reason why you'd rush an injury.
He's the glue guy. That's what Spags calls him all the time. And I look, there's no pads today. It is a veteran that had a tweaked hamstring. I don't think it's any reason to be alarmed at this point in time. I know Anthony Hitchens last night even sent out a tweet kind of talking about, hey, control the things that you can control, and then now we know he's not practicing today. So I think it's just the day two of veterans out here. They'll be cautious with it. We can look ahead if we're still sitting here next week at this time and there's, you know, he still hasn't returned. That's a different story. But I think there's no reason with a guy that knows this defense well, as good as anybody on the defensive side of the ball, no reason to rush anything. I think that's what's taking place today when it comes to Anthony Hitchens out on the football field.
And just so you know, they are currently running 7-on-7s on the field right now. And if you're saying, who replaces Hitchens in those scenarios? The answer is Nick Bolton, who's running at middle linebacker, absent with the absence of Anthony Hitchens. So for a team with the Super Bowl expectations they have, day one of camp, starting two rookie offensive linemen. Day two of camp, starting two rookie linebackers. And not rookies, I guess. Willie Gay, just a really inexperienced linebacker and one rookie linebacker. So youth at a couple of different positions. But again, that's because Hitchens isn't practicing today. But if you're asking, blow for blow, who would fill in if Hitchens was missing time? The answer, at least for day two of camp right now, is Nick Bolton.
Yeah, we just saw Patrick Mahomes in that same sequence there try to connect with DeMarcus Robinson, a slight overthrow to DeMarcus Robinson, who, of course, I think at this point in time, we know he's really your number three or number four wide receiver on this team. He is what he is at this point in time, but that was just one opportunity. We haven't had our first roar of the day yet on any hookup, but they just started 7-on-7 drill. So we'll keep an eye on what's going on with practice. They got an hour still to go here. If anything notable happens, we'll certainly keep you guys aware of that. And our training camp coverage here on 610 Sports Radio is presented by Blue KC. Live healthy with Blue KC. The Big 12 continues to stay in the news, Cody, and now it's kind of gone to this conspiracy route, although I don't think Bob Boolsby comes out as strongly as he did yesterday, which was accusing ESPN of working with other conferences, most notably the AAC, a Group of Five conference, to try to poach members from the Big 12. He claims he's got, you know, evidence to suggest that that is exactly what has taken place. Cease and desist was sent over to ESPN, and now it seems like this will go into a legal battle at some point in time. But what the AAC appears to have tried to do is exactly what we talked about that they should be doing last week.
Yes.
That's what the ACC should be doing.
So the Big 12 should AAC, be doing to excuse the me. AAC.
That's what they should be doing, because if you want to maintain any type of recognition, if you're not going to even be a Power 5, if you're the AAC, you have an opportunity to become the best group of five, or maybe you think you can go and poach enough from the Big 12 and become somewhat of a Power 4.5, if you will, is how I would view it for the AAC. This doesn't surprise me at all. ESPN has always been essentially in charge with conference realignment. All of the conference realignment discussions last decade or so has been about television deals. We talk about market size back in 2011. We talk about the increased revenue and new TV deals and granted rights. That's all because of ESPN and Fox and CBS and NBC, if you're Notre Dame in their case. So, of course, they were trying to push something. They don't want to have to pay the rest of the Big 12 contract. They're hoping they can blow up the entire Big 12 by poaching all these other teams.
So they're not on the hook for another $1 billion. It's $1 billion. It doesn't matter if it's four schools, two schools. The more that leave gold, the more actually realistic it is to stay in that conference until the bitter end, unless ESPN offers you some sort of deal. Because legitimately, think about it. If you worked this way, and you got down to four teams left, you're like, all right, so now four of us are splitting that $1 billion?
You can't move forward with four, though.
You can as teams, you can. That's not part of the ESPN deal. It doesn't blow up if there's four
teams. As teams, you can. But the conference with Cody, the conference with four teams does not exist.
I'm just saying.
They may get their payout, but what the conference doesn't – if it gets down to four teams, they haven't even tried to add – the conference doesn't exist. You can't have a conference with four teams.
I would just have a conference with four teams and take the checks until – because if I'm not getting in a big boy conference anyway, then I'm just going to split $500 million until I can't get any more money. ESPN's going to be mad at me, and they're probably never going to want to give my team money ever again.
See, what you're saying, though, I hope, is not how KU and K-State are thinking, though. Because it appears that – the Big 12 is going to fight till the end now, and they're going to try to send a message to Texas, Oklahoma, and ESPN that, no, you're still going to be writing us checks. You're not getting out of this easy. And that's essentially what it was all about yesterday and continues to be about today. But if I'm KU or K-State, I don't lock arms with Bob Boolsby in the Big 12 and say, oh, man, they're showing fight. Like, oh, congratulations, Big 12. You're now deciding to go ahead and fight things a little bit and be proactive in terms of threatening litigation. That's not good enough at this point for me if I'm KU or K-State. You still, tomorrow, if K-State or KU got a call to join another Power 5 conference, you don't give a damn about the lawsuit and maybe getting that check, because you'll make that money up very quickly, and you'll have stability. The Big 12 is not stable whatsoever, and this news yesterday with the cease and desist just, I think, explains why it's not stable. Oklahoma and Texas left, and last resort now is to go the litigation route for the Big 12.
Honestly,
they're trying to collect
though,
as much money as they can before it blows up.
I would say that, but also, they have actual legal recourse here. ESPN 1,000% conspired with the AAC to merge those two to get out of the check. That's exactly how it went down. The problem they're going to have is proof. How on earth do you prove it? And I get it. Bob Boolsby sounds like
the way he talks,
a conspiracy nut job. And is there the Big 12? How are you ever going to get ESPN money again if you sue them over these contracts? So now you got to be on Fox Sports 1, or you got to be on NBC Sports. Then they can that. Whatever it's got to be. You got to move forward with different contracts. But they absolutely did what he's talking about there.
But that's why yesterday's news to me shows that the Big 12, almost in their own mind, they realize that they're done. Because ESPN is the most powerful television partner. I understand there's Fox, and you laid out there's CBS and others. But the leverage that you would have with those, especially if it's
Peacock
down to eight – Yeah, I know there's always new streaming platforms, and Amazon maybe wants to get into the college football. Who knows, right? I mean, that wouldn't surprise any of us if that's the case at this point, or any of the other streaming platforms. So, yeah, there's some truth to that, man. But I just look at what Bob Boolsby had to say. He made it seem as though they got, like, an email or they got a voicemail or something. He sounds like he believes he's got full-on proof here that this occurred. ESPN made the right business decision to try to get the Big 12 to implode because they don't want to pay out this money. But at the same time, you got caught now, and that might, even if you owe them $500 million still, you might be paying double that because of the legal system and how that could all go if there's a settlement or anything like that. That's at least where it appears this thing's going to drag out. We're not getting a solution on this anytime soon. This could be years down the road before any of these schools ever get that payday. You cannot let yesterday's news dictate what you do if you're K-State, KU, Iowa State, Baylor, TCU, whatever. You cannot let yesterday's statement from Bob Boolsby say, oh, yeah, we are going to stick together because we want to get our money. Yeah, you'll get plenty of money long term if you're in the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or whatever, the ACC.
I just – and Brett McMurphy was reporting yesterday that they feel like – the Big 12 feels like they have an advantage because nobody wants congressional hearings again. Someone standing in front of a judge with their right hand raised and be like, all right, commissioner – all right, AD of Iowa State, did ESPN call you? Yeah. Did they try to get you to go to the AAC? Yes. Because then you run into all these problems. Or can you – this isn't – we've already gone through Cody's prison speech. This isn't snitches get stitches. We're not running into that problem with Big 12 ADs. They're not going to go to jail for ESPN. They're not going to run that kind of game. They'd rather
you better start like the first day of prison, right? And become someone's bitch because this is your reality.
That's right.
Yep. This is what it's going to be.
As the wise Cody once said.
This is how Kansas is going to enter the Big Ten. Either prove you're better than Rutgers or just become the bitch of the conference.
I mean,
those are really your choices.
I was looking at revenue, though, numbers. As bad as KU football has been, they still would have had, I think, the ninth most revenue in the Big Ten or eighth most revenue in the Big Ten last year.
Yeah.
That's what's still crazy about
the revenue. And
that's
not considering the TV money, right? Which would have bumped them up even more.
It was like $18 million more for football schools in the Big Ten than it was in the Big 12 last year. So I imagine that would be a significant uptick.
But if you're the other schools in the Big Ten, you still have to look and say, okay, am I making more money by KU joining the conference? That's what you have to decide. Does that impact the television partners enough to make a difference? That's what they have to decide going forward. If they believe that the next route in the next 4 years is that all these conferences are going to continue to expand, then I think it changes it. But this has been wild. And you mentioned the word conspiracy. Does it sound like you're not fully buying that ESPN was behind all this? You said 1,000% that you thought ESPN was behind it, but it sounded like at the same time you mentioned the word conspiracy. I know Nick's a big conspiracy theory guy. I mean, do we think that there was, you know, the Big 12, were they trying to tap some phones? What was going on?
If you made me guess, Bob Boolsby probably believes an entire list of things. You could start with the SEC tapping his phone because he definitely believes that. He's already picked up a burner like it's the wire from the local gas station, and anybody he is talking to is officially on a prepaid cell phone.
You got that Boost Mobile phone?
No question about it. 100%. He's already on that. You know that's just the tip of what he's thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, I bet you he thinks that the SEC rigged the vote, too, for expansion, because all of a sudden, you know, after initially we thought Missouri was going to block it, we thought Texas A&M was going to block it, now it's going to pass unanimously. Something fishy going on there, right? Who talked to who? Some back channeling?
What if this is all just one giant plot by Dan Beebe to not look like the worst commissioner in Big 12 history?
Oh, I like that. He's behind all of it.
Maybe he just didn't want to go down as the worst commissioner, because remember, he saved it, right? They still lived on after Dan Beebe left. Boolsby would be in charge when they actually died. So Beebe's just we couldn't get him on, could we? Try to get Beebe on. Try to get him on to talk about his time at the end of the Big 12. He's just putting an end to this
mean,
whole thing.
I mean, will people view Dan Beebe more favorably if the Big 12 folds this go around? They'll be like, at least Dan Beebe didn't cause the whole conference to go away. Bob Boolsby, it seems like he's going to be the guy in charge when this sinking ship actually goes down.
Who do you think the team is they talk to?
Yeah, there's a mystery team out there.
The snakiest team that the AAC thought that they could get to go along with this plan and bring everybody else around. And my conspiracy theory is it's your guys in Kansas. They were trying to get their boys, Kansas, in that basketball conference to come slithering away.
If you want to go deep conspiracy with me on this, the director of programming that's also on the letter that Bob Boolsby sent to ESPN, KU grad.
Ooh.
KU grad. KU grad.
Interesting.
We want to go deep on this. And also graduated within a year or so of Travis Goff at
wow.
KU.
Wow.
How about that? How about that for some conspiracy?
And he put his name on it, on the letter.
That's Bob Bowlsby addressed him. He was one of the names.
Confirmed. It's Kansas. It's Kansas, Nick. It's confirmed.
Well, more will come out, right? Like, over the next week, we're going to get very specific with exactly who Bob Bowlsby in the Big 12 is upset. Because right now, he's making it seem like he's upset with Texas and Oklahoma and ESPN. But a week from now, he's going to start plucking off these individual schools for not showing loyalty.
He'd be an idiot to do that, though. You start doing that, you need – that's the thing. If you're KU or K-State, you can go and try to help yourself. The Big 12 can't really do anything to you at this point because if you leave, then they really have nothing. Like, if you're KU or K-State, you're in a spot where you can do both.
New conspiracy. The Big 12 meeting tomorrow, which is taking place, according to Dennis Dodd, is actually just a ceremony where you have to come kneel and kiss the ring, Bob Bowlsby, to prove your fealty.
All wearing hooded robes?
Yes. If you do not prove to me now that you're in this for the long haul, you will be marked as an enemy of the Big 12.
You're going to be a blood sacrifice?
It's like the blessing of the Whataburger. I mean, what's going on down in Dallas? I don't know what they're going to do.
That's exactly how it's going to happen.
It's okay.
If you're curious what the Big 12 meeting looks like, it's a bunch of guys standing around in hoods, kissing rings to prove that they're there. TCU's just lined up right away. Yes, Big 12, please. Please save us.
If you've got some conspiracies, you can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. We are up here in St. Joe. That means we've got another camp question around one player in particular, Nick. And I believe today we take a look at Jaron Reed, one of the offseason acquisitions.
Camp question.
That's right, Alex. Time for another edition of Camp Questions. And you mentioned it there. Jaron Reed is going to be at the center of today's discussion. Question number one for you guys. Will the addition of Jaron Reed make Frank Clark better? Remember, these guys were teammates during their time in Seattle.
I feel like that's the entire reason they brought Jaron Reed on. I know some of this could be to move Chris Jones to the outside, which we'll get to in the beginning. But he was brought on to make Frank Clark better. He's not going to be Frank Clark from the time in Seattle when he had double-digit sacks when Jaron Reed was beside him. But yes, I actually do think he will make Frank Clark better, partially because Frank Clark, no offense, on the outside, as far as regular season sack performance, based on the number he makes, probably couldn't have performed much worse. 6.5 sacks for a $20 million player just isn't it. That's not enough. Jaron Reed was brought there to try to give him that, I don't know, cohesive part of the line. So I absolutely think he'll make Frank Clark, I don't think a way better, but a little bit better this season.
I know that was the thought when they brought in Jaron Reed that, oh, man, they're going to replicate what happened in 2018. I think it is actually more, can he make Frank Clark better? It's making this entire pass rush with Chris Jones better because Chris Jones cannot go to the outside if it's not for Jaron Reed. Chris Jones, to me, as a edge rusher, and we'll hear from him later on today, he's expected to address the media. We watched him a little bit. If he's able to become an elite edge rusher, a lot of that is going to only be because Jaron Reed is on this football team. So I look that direction more. I think Frank Clark's, you know, on his own doing, is either going to have a great year or we're going to be disappointed again and he'll be done in Kansas City. Chris Jones, to me, has a chance because of Jaron Reed for us to be saying, man, that plan that Spags and Andy Reid had worked out masterfully. You have an interior pass rush from Jaron Reed, and you also have the exterior pass rush from Chris Jones.
Camp questions.
Alex, you led me right to my next question. Question number two. What will Jaron Reed need to do this season to not make you second guess moving Chris Jones to the outside?
Well, if Jaron Reed has fewer sacks than he had a couple years ago, which was 6.5, and you lost the interior production from Chris Jones while also not getting it on the outside, that's a major problem. That means this entire pass rush, this entire plan would not have worked out. What do I need from Jaron Reed? Yeah, really, last year, 6.5 sacks. And if Chris Jones gives you, what, 9 sacks or whatever combination you need to equal at least minimum what you got a year ago, that's what I need from him.
I don't know that I need, because again, once you bring Jaron Reed into the mix and make you not second guess the Chris Jones thing, if it is equal pass rush, it's probably fine. I don't want them to be 19th like they were last season at getting to the quarterback. I know Jay Binkley will tell you, really, they were top 10 in pressures for part of the season. They were top 5 in pressures. But Chris Jones had 7.5 sacks. That's it from the interior last year. That's it. He had 9 the year before that. He was at 15 3 years ago.
Well, then I need 7.5 or 6.5 next year.
It's like if you're going to get on the in the outside last year, that's really about what you got, between 7.5 and 10 sacks. So if they get a similar number, 15 between the two of them, you know, 13, I'd say between 13 and 15 between the two of them, and just as long as Jaren Reed isn't bad against the run, which is something people try to knock on Chris Jones, which I think is nonsense, then the move worked. Just as long as the sack numbers are all I care about. The rest of this, I think Jaren Reed can handle.
Camp questions. All right, guys, last question. We're going to do a little math here, okay? You just threw out some numbers, some potential sack numbers for these guys. Jaren Reed will rank what on the team this year in total sacks?
Ooh, man. So I'm hoping we're talking about Chris Jones leading the team in sacks from the outside. I think Jaren Reed.
That'd be fun.
I'm banking that Frank Clark still ends up missing a game or two. I'm going to say Jaren Reed will be second on the team in sacks.
Second?
Yeah.
Well, this is really, you've come hard down to earth on your boy Frank Clark.
If I'm saying 6.5 or 7.5 sacks for Jaren Reed, and Frank Clark, let's say he misses four games, I mean, who else? Give me another name, though, that it could be. I got to put him second in that regard. Now, Frank Clark plays the whole season, and if you believe that he can come back and be what he was a couple years ago, then, yeah, Frank Clark might even have a chance to lead the team in sacks.
In fairness, 6.5 sacks would have been second on the team last year. So I guess second? Chris Jones still going to lead this team in sacks.
I mean, he has to, Cody. He has to.
And with the unknown with Frank Clark, really the only other choices you're talking yourself into is all of a sudden Mike Dana becomes a sack machine seemingly out of nowhere, or Turk Wharton becomes a sack machine out of nowhere, or you're believing in Taco Charlton, who would have been on pace for 5 sacks last season had he played a full 16 games. But the answer is actually second. I agree.
Those are our camp questions today, centered around Jaren Reed. Just a little update as we're watching practice in front of us here in St. Joe, the only station and only show in Kansas City today during practice, broadcasting your official Chiefs broadcast partner, 610 Sports Radio. Travis Kelce, who, again, we're expecting to potentially talk to him, but he did leave practice early today, walked up the hill under his own power, so we'll keep an eye on that. So something just to watch. We'll see if that impacts his availability today
to
us.
We are told if it's not Travis Kelce who joins today, it will be Chris Jones.
Yeah.
So,
look, much like we said with Anthony Hitchens, if there's any tweak at all for Travis Kelce, yeah, he can go ahead and take the rest of the day off. He can take tomorrow off. He can take the next day off, the next day. Whatever he needs to get back to 100%, there's no reason to risk anything when it comes to Travis Kelce, just like we said about Anthony Hitchens as well. But just something to keep an eye on. Travis Kelce left practice early today, but he did walk up the hill under his own power. 7-on-7 drills, Cody. Looks like we're back to Chad Henne as the second stringers are out there. Mahomes, we'll see as we have about 30 minutes left of practice. We'll see how much more we see of Mahomes working with the ones or not.
I have a little bit of time left. Someone was asking for a Gehrig Dieter update yesterday. He's jogging off the field slowly. There's your Gehrig Dieter update for today at training camp. So congratulations. Yeah, I don't know what the issue is with Travis Kelce, but he is, at least at the moment, coming off the field. We have yet to hear if he'll still join us at 11 o'clock. But if not, it'll be Chris Jones coming up on the show. Obviously, if Travis Kelce is to join us, we'll ask him what that injury problem was called. That might want to be question number one.
You think? How you feeling? What happened? Which might be why we don't end up talking to him today. So we'll find out as that continues.
Live radio. Honestly, give me Kelce and Jones together now. I'm sorry.
Sure. You know that's gonna happen. So we'll be keeping an eye on that still. And 1 hour from now, either way, we are expecting to carry a couple press conferences. Chris Jones, one or the other, is expected to address the media and find out how the transition is going to defensive end, something he hasn't played and since his college days at Mississippi State. Text line's already blaming us, saying it's the Cody and Gold curse.
What? Travis Kelce come on the show yet?
Kelce hasn't even been on our show. He's never actually been on the show, so you can't put that one on us. That little tweak
But that's actually a pretty good defense of him. He's like the healthiest day he's scheduled to come on this show. He leaves practice early. I'm just saying, in their defense, show curse-wise, it's kind of hard to argue against. Nick's new to the show, so, I mean, he's at least somewhat impartial. Is it on us if he doesn't appear on the show yet?
Well, I think, in general, you would think after one full season and Travis Kelce never came on the show that it might be more than just he's a big name and he has a lot of things going on. At some point, I figure he would just wind up on the show. I mean, we are the official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, so he's a pretty significant player. It makes you wonder if there's something else going on.
He's just trying to duck this interview. We were going to ask him, you know, like, we had some tough questions for him. Like,
he got hurt, man.
Favorite Olympic sport. Well, no, it's fine. Travis Kelce left right now. We'll keep an eye out on it. We don't know the extent or anything like that. He walked up the hill, which is always a pretty good sign. But at least for now, Travis Kelce done at practice today for the Kansas City Chiefs.
We upgraded our area here where we have our tent right in front of the practice field. We've got a giant fan now behind us, so that's an upgrade. But did you see the Chiefs now are going to have for fans tailgate suites?
Oh, I saw.
Tailgate suites. These things look incredible, by the way. And they had them over at the facility here in a different area at Chiefs practice, and it'll include all the indoor access, food, drinks, basically like a giant trailer with nice seating and all this kind of stuff to take in as another tailgating option. If you look at, I showed you the photo of it earlier today, they back it up to the field and you're good to go. They should just let us just try those out a little bit, you know?
Why couldn't we do the show from there? Nice endorsement.
Yeah. Do you think there's some fans that, because they're used to normal tailgating, would refuse to do this? And one, it's going to be very expensive.
First, if you're that person, are you crazy?
In December?
Was the experience better because it was – I've tailgated in negative temperatures. That doesn't make the experience more enjoyable. Aren't we all happier when it's 50 degrees and a light jacket and a little liquid warmth from the tailgate is the thing that buoys you through? Like, if this is an available option to me and I can afford it, in. Absolutely.
I don't think
in.
You can afford it.
You can go outside. Why would you say that? You don't know my finances.
Because we work in radio. That's how I know.
Maybe I come from family money. Uh-huh. I don't. But, you know, that could have been a possibility, at least on that.
I just can't imagine. Like, it looks like there's this upper-level viewing deck of the trailer. You think you're just
tailgate.
Up there and you're just looking down at as other people are tailgating. Like, look at these people. They're actually down there tailgating on the concrete. We're up here in our private tailgate suite.
I treat it like a Super Bowl parade and start chucking beers down at people. Want a beer? I got
you. You would.
Toss them down, light on the edge. Why not?
This looks awesome. It does look awesome. It's got a flat screen TV. It's got a full-on couch. It's got AC, most importantly, and heat for the wintertime.
I think it's an abomination.
An abomination?
That's
man.
Right.
Why?
You need to be outside in the elements with everybody else. Don't be in your elitist trailer looking all smug, tossing beer out to the peasants, Cody. Who do you think you are? You need to be on the ground floor with them, slumming it.
Look, I am normally a man of the people. You know that. I can't afford to not be a man of the people. But given the option, given the availability to sit up in a cushy little tailgate train overlooking people, maybe I can invite some people in. What about kids? Are we even going to factor this in? As the dad here, if you had little kids, this is a huge win.
It would make the tailgating experience a lot easier. They're not complaining they're too hot. They're not complaining it's too cold. None of that kind of stuff. So tailgate suites are out there, and I guess we need to go find it. It's out here. They're showing it off. So we'll go check that out at some point. But coming up next, the one player that took first team reps yesterday that had Cody scratching his head.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here in St. Joe, it is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Nick Schwartz back in Kansas City. Practice continuing here. Second full day of practice with the veterans, rookies, everybody together. Still no pads. That'll take place a little bit later on in the week. But 7-on-7 drills continue the next half hour until practice wraps up, and we'll be joined by, well, Travis Kelce or Chris Jones here exclusively on 610 Sports Radio. But there was one player who took first team reps yesterday, and as we're watching, it appears he's taking a few at least today as well. And his name's Mike Hughes. And you were scratching your head a little bit about Mike Hughes out there as a first teamer.
Well, I can't fully question what they do at corner because Spags has generally done a very good job, even with cornerback groups that I somewhat question. But when they traded for Hughes, did you think running with the ones in the first day of practice? Because I didn't. I just thought that they would lean more on Rashad Fenton, honestly, and DeAndre Baker to fill some of those roles. But the second they bounced Snead on the inside on some of those nickel looks, they put Mike Hughes on the outside. He wasn't even a starter for the Vikings last year most of the time. Sure, he played in 16 games and he got on the field, but he was the kind of guy who got on the field sparingly, not all the time. And I understand, like, but in modern-day NFL, you're going to run nickel 80% of the time. Like, you're going to run out of that defense such a large percentage. If Hughes is going to start all year, I'm not going to lie. That makes me a little more concerned. I was kind of hoping somebody else would win the job.
I think two things. One, it was first day and now second day of practice. And I think more than any other position out there, we're going to see them roll out multiple combinations. I don't read too much into it. But also, if he were to end up playing with the ones more and more, I don't think that automatically means it's a Ward is underachieving or someone else is having a bad camp. I think that turns into a guy that, you know what, you took a flyer on, you swap picks with the Vikings, essentially you swap Bashaud Breeland and Mike Hughes, and if he goes out and has an impressive camp and they believe that he deserves the opportunity, then that's a good thing in terms of long-term answers. It means when yesterday you asked me the question about extension for Charvarius Ward, well, if you've suddenly
had... Hughes is the guy.
If Hughes is the guy, if Baker's the guy, like, upside, Hughes and Baker still have far more upside to me than Charvarius Ward or Rashad Fenton. It's day two now of practice for Mike Hughes. The fact that he's getting some, not full-time, by the way, some reps with the first team. I think you're going to see this a lot because the secondary, that cornerback group, after L'Jarius Sneed, there are questions, right? There's Sneed, there's Tyrann Mathieu will play over there at times, and Charvarius Ward, we believe, is the number two corner, but if you told me, you know, Fenton and Hughes and Baker, there's going to be a competition there. That's fine with me. I think that's good.
You're not wrong that Hughes and Baker have a bigger upside than Charvarius Ward. But if you could lock me in for Hughes is as good as Charvarius Ward right now, I'd take it. With no upside at all. If you can just tell me he can just start for the next 3 years and mostly not screw things up, I would take that instantly. Because he has a lower floor than Ward right now, too. He's never played as well, and neither has DeAndre Baker, as Charvarius Ward has played at his peak.
Yep.
They both have lower floors and higher ceilings. I would still just take them to be Charvarius Ward.
And that's why you take the flyer on him. I mean, that's what Brett Veach has done multiple times in his career here as general manager. When they traded for Hughes, we weren't surprised when you look back, okay, it's a guy that was a bust for the Vikings, but a first-round talent. DeAndre Baker had his issues there with the Giants, ends up now as a he's not your first-round pick, and so he's got a high ceiling. And, yeah, the floor might be low, but there's no risk with either of these guys. You gave up nothing for both. You're paying neither. You know what I mean? There's low risk there now.
Yeah, you gave up a low-round pick for Hughes. I hated the Hughes for Breeland part, but I have to separate it. Because those are technically two separate moves, but they feel the same.
And now it's low risk in terms of finances, but they are, it sure seems like, counting on either Hughes or Baker having a fairly decent impact on this team this season. I think the indication right there is that he was getting, Hughes in his case, getting first-team reps. So, I mean, I think that is something that we'll continue to watch throughout camp. And I don't think it's a bad thing. More than almost any other position on this team heading into camp, and as camp progresses, I expect us to see more combinations at the secondary.
And because what you mentioned, no, it's just the combinations what you're talking about. Because you mentioned Tyrann Mathieu, there is more flexibility than I'm leading it on to believe. Because I'm like, anytime there's a nickel, if they're going to kick Snead inside, who's playing outside? That could still be Mathieu. They could still be careful. They could still, on a 3rd and 7, where they know they're going to pass, go single high safety. But they do open themselves up if they do that. Move Mathieu around to covering a guy at corner. That means they either got to play two safeties, and it's Thornhill and Sorensen, who are two guys you trust less at safety than you do Tyrann Mathieu, or you got to go single high safety, and then you bring yourself into a position where you're opening yourself up to deep plays. It's not all surrounding around Hughes. I was just a little – honestly, when they traded for him, I never thought they were trading for him to be a number one corner. In fairness, if I had said that about Charvarius Ward, I also would not have thought that. They just got there eventually. They obviously see something in Hughes. They must have loved him coming out of the draft. Veach is definitely that guy. Dayton Moore is that guy. Like, if you loved the guy before, you still love him now. Like, oh, Minnesota just didn't handle him right. They just didn't take care of him the way we'll take care of him. Similar to, like, the Cam Irving conversation.
Well, I'd love to hear from Spags when we get a chance to hear from him at some point in the next couple of days when the coordinators are available to get his thoughts. You know, Andy Reid was asked why Trey Smith was getting the first crack at right guard, and you said, you know, consistency. That's why he's getting that opportunity.
Maybe
I would love to know.
Same.
I would love to know And to your point about Hughes, like why is he getting some chances there, some opportunities there? Clearly there's something that they see so far through the mini camps, and then now as we get into just day two, I keep stressing that because they're not even in patch yet. So let's just see, but let's just see how things continue to progress out here as they got another, 20 minutes or so of practice. They're on the far field to our left right now in 7-on-7 still.
Let's see what happens.
And then in front of us,
Mahomes
just special
goes back,
teams.
Deep ball too. Map short. Sorry. Byron Pringle could not haul it in. Good coverage by, I think, Mike Hughes.
Who we were just talking about. That is him. Number 21, right? Yeah.
Good timing. Perfect timing. Also, I'm not supposed to do play-by-play. So that was actually, that happened 10 seconds ago, and I was just pretending it was alive for radio
I think
effect,
you'll be
in case
okay.
anyone asks.
Something tells me you're going to be just fine. The offensive line, it's the same as yesterday as far as who's getting first-team reps. Not that we thought it would change, but just as camp goes on, we'll always keep an eye on that. Joe Tooney and Brown on the left, as we all expected, but Creed Humphrey still in there as the rookie center, and then Trey Smith at the rookie at the right guard spot, and then it continues to be Rimmers. Now, at this point, they switched to the second team, so we got Chad Henne back out there. But that's the first team offensive line was out there for that last play as well.
You don't want to see Henne shovel pass?
I'm good.
To, I couldn't even
is
tell
that McKinnon?
Who? I think so. It didn't work.
He'll be someone, as camp goes on, to do they believe he's got a spot on this roster? I mean, I think they really like Jerick McKinnon, but is he the running back that –
Well, they have too many
at some
backs.
Point, yeah, I mean, tomorrow we can go through – just a few days in practice, but in general, who you think is on the camp casualty cut list and all that kind of stuff, as we all do heading into camp. Darwin Thompson is someone that is absolutely on that, as is Nick Kaiser, for example. So those are two guys that come to mind right away where you would say maybe could be camp cuts. I know some people believe LDT is a candidate for that. I think the Kyle Long injury, putting him on the pup list, is probably going to prevent LDT from being cut. And we've looked at the finances.
Also cost him more to cut him to keep him.
Right.
So it just doesn't make sense. And why would you cut an experienced guard? You'd be better off trying to practice squad Nick Allegretti, wouldn't you? I know he started some games for you.
He's flexible.
They're just
deep
at that
position.
They do. And I don't think – because he's played a little center and stuff too. I don't think that – the offensive lineman, my guess is like most of the games – like Yasir Durant will be the person who ends up on the practice squad if they're going to work through those systems because they're just less likely to get picked up. I think things are mostly safe there, but it just depends on where it is. And as an update, we are expected to be joined by – a Chiefs player coming up here in 20 minutes or so. It was scheduled to be Travis Kelce. He left practice a little bit earlier on with an undiagnosed, I don't know, he just left. It could be anything, really, at this stage. So we'll see. If it's not Travis Kelce, we are expecting Chris Jones to join us coming up in 20 minutes.
And Nate Taylor from The Athletic, who, of course, is going to join us throughout the football season here on 610 Sports Radio as we get a little bit closer in. He had just gone through some of his reporting as they're right over on the left-hand side of us. We were talking about Creed Humphrey. He said Creed Humphrey just had his first botched snap of camp in shotgun during the first team period. Like, that's going to happen, but that's going to be, he's snapping. I know Bink always was throughout OTAs was telling us that he can snap with both hands. He's snapping with the left hand, and there's the first botched snap, so let's all freak out over that.
Yeah, I'm sure that no center
perfect
has
snaps
ever
all the time.
Botched a snap in the history of training camp. If this becomes this year's training camp interceptions, I'm going to lose my mind.
And he keeps, this out of the shotgun, really, really struggling.
I was covering the team then, too. And I every national interview do, hey, he's throwing these picks. I'm like, no one cares. The entire Chiefs organization seems completely unbothered by it. Should really tell you something. He went on that year to throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. So something tells me Creed Humphrey, one botched snap, won't hurt him.
We'll get to the trash of the day coming up in about 5 minutes or so, but back to college football briefly and how it relates to something that I don't think any of us expected to see. We know name, image, and likeness is here to stay, and we know in college basketball, typically it's common that if you're someone that's a senior in high school, or I should say a junior in high school, you could reclassify so you can get to college a little bit early. Now there's the impact that name, image, and likeness could have in all of that, and what each state is doing is going to play a role as we expected in recruiting. So according to Pete Thamel, there's the number one overall recruit in high school, Quinn Ewers, I guess, and he's leaning towards skipping senior year of high school and attending Ohio State. So he would need to reclassify in that case, which happens in basketball, not in football. And then at that point, he could sign NIL deals, and it's pointed out that they could be worth nearly seven figures. It's allowed in Ohio. That would not be allowed right now in Texas. Another advantage that some of these states and therefore schools and conferences could have.
I just think it matters for the entire realignment. This is actually pointed out to us by Nick, this story in general, because when you start thinking, you're like, okay, I tried to go through and think of any college football player I could ever remember reclassifying. They don't do that. There's a variety of reasons. The same reason that college football players stay longer than other sports. It's hard to be big enough, strong enough, fast enough as a 19-year-old to play in the NFL. College football is actually a needed step in between. I would say baseball isn't always that way, although it is sometimes. But it's just, as a skill set, it's impossible almost to be that big, that strong, that fast. If he goes, he's probably just going to get redshirted. He's going to burn that year
guarantee
of eligibility,
yeah.
But he'll still have 4 years of eligibility. In his mind, he'll be in the pros a year faster, and instead of playing high school football in Texas for a year making no money, he can just go to college and make seven figures. And these athletes are going to all do this. And the reason why is you never know when the earning cap is. Yours could stink as a pro, man. He could never make it as an NFL. He could Ryan Leaf his way through the league. He could never even make it to the league. Tons of number one prospects in high school football didn't go through to the pros, didn't even make it to the pros. So if he can make several million dollars now, he should. All these states, especially if you're part of realignment, if you're Kansas, you're Oklahoma, you better put any NIL stuff you can in your legislature to try to get it passed so that anybody can earn money in your state and you can recruit anybody as possible.
In Kansas, the earliest anything could happen is 2022. That's when the next legislative session happens. This is going to be for the elite of the elite.
Why do you know that?
Because of the sports gambling bill.
Oh.
That's the only reason why. And because there's only a handful of states in the country that have have year-round state legislatures.
Yeah,
a lot
sure.
of them are part-time.
But I didn't know that they were in recess until January.
Back in May.
Until January. Huh. It's not even August.
Yeah. They're not full-time. Not only a handful of states are full-time.
But they get paid like full-time people.
I don't believe so, no.
You don't think a state legislator
no.
gets paid like a
no,
full-time
I,
employee?
I know one in particular who I've communicated with throughout the gambling
you
stuff.
You asked him how much he makes?
No, but he has another job is what I'm telling you. He's had another job.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he's just kicking it till January, huh?
Well, I mean, kicking it. Yeah, I mean, he's working his other job. But, yeah, anyway. So there's going to be from the elite of the elite, though. I mean, you're talking about the number one high school recruit. The guy that is just a three-star, is not going to work for you because you
he's
need to be able to get the NIL.
Like
it's got to be for the top 10 quarterbacks that are
sure.
coming out that year or whatever. And I think you're right. That could happen going forward and likely would unless there's some alteration where some schools start having some issue with that for whatever reason because you might have your redshirt quarterback making a bigger NIL deal than you're starting whatever.
This is a Dabo Swinney theory. Like, oh, no, we've got this 18-year-old on our roster who's redshirt who's making $1 million a year. Everyone's going to be mad at him now. Well, this is life. Just so you know, athletes get mad at each other for a variety of reasons. Sometimes because their daddy's rich. Sometimes because they get more playing time that they don't think that they deserve because they were a more highly thought of prospect than you. Coming into it, they were more stars coming in, so it took you harder to get into there. And then you get into pro sports. And college sports are professional. Like, I know we don't want to pretend like that they are, but the more we move towards this, you better just accept it, Dabo. You're going to have to deal with the fact that maybe your actual starting quarterback at Ohio State is mad at the kid coming in because he doesn't make as much in the image and likeness. Welcome to the business, Gold. That's how our entire business works. Like, you might get more in endorsements than somebody else because of that. That's just... I feel like sometimes like these stories that come out negative on this end are all from like the coaching end who just don't want to deal with the hassle.
If you're the number one high school quarterback and going to college, you could tear your ACL your senior year of high school and all of a sudden be a three, you won't get heavily recruited. Maybe they'll still take it because you had the talent before, but there's no guarantee. And so therefore you're losing out on name, image, and likeness. You may be a complete bust in college, but at least maybe you made $500,000. Off of NIL deals, or if you're lucky, $1 million. Look, that's money you never would have got before. So that's the advantage of being able to do it. It kind of covers you to where if you turn out to not be someone that has a successful college career, you can still cash in when you were the hot prospect out of high school.
We said this before. You never know in life when your earning potential is going to be. What I've told Mary Kate and Ashley Olson not to make the money, they make a lot of money now. They've got makeup lines and stuff, so they're rich. But part of the reason was is because they had good earning potential when they were young. And they earned that money. There's problems with making children become superstars of this thing. But, you guys don't have kids. But, like, every listener who has a kid, the Ryan's World kid, who is a multimillionaire. He's worth $50, $60, $70 million because he got popular on YouTube when he was, like, 10. Now he's got his own line of toys. Would I have told him not to make that money because that was his – it would have been creepy – if he were 30 years old, fresh out of college, starting his Ryan's toy thing, doing the stuff he does now, it would have been weird. It's not weird because he was a kid and it felt right and he hit the bubble at the right time. I never tell people to avoid their best possible earning potential, no matter the age.
Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the Day brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. I feel like we've seen people try to profit of you know, air before at a sporting event, or they were at a certain sports parade where they were like, oh, this was the beer that was spilled on the ground from Travis Kelce. Here you go. I got some of it. Let me sell it to you. Well, there's a fan selling a bag of air from a Kanye West listening event. Now, imagine Nick strikes me as the type of person that was listening at this listening event.
Why? I strike you as that type?
I mean, yeah, you're willing to fly places for concerts like Salt Lake City, so I figured you'd be willing to lock into a listening
because
event.
Because I went to a Garth Brooks concert, and now I'll pay for a bag of air from Kanye's listening party?
I don't know if you're buying the bag of air, but I think you might have been part of the listening event. The event took place in Atlanta, so maybe you were down there, you didn't tell us.
No.
And there's a listing that's appeared as a bag of air from the last one official Kanye West. And someone's trying to profit off of air. That's it.
How much?
It has a few bids on it. I don't know if the
let's buy it for the show.
Up. Yeah, $6,600.
Okay,
that's fine. Yeah, we got
the
that
bag of air from
Alex.
Mercedes.
How much would you pay for a jar of Mila Kunis's bathwater? You know, she doesn't bathe very often,
so it's a limited edition.
Yeah, so I mean, you
I'm
only
not
get
that,
the, that opportunity.
Not, see, there's a difference between what we talked about yesterday, which was. You know, having intercourse with Mila Kunis after 2 weeks of her not bathing.
Why do you have to say intercourse?
It makes it sound so
It makes it sound
so
like
work.
So technical.
It I makes said, it sound so much worse.
Ma'am, we are going to have intercourse now.
I said sex yesterday. Today I chose intercourse. It just, you know.
You should have said bang.
Fine. Either
Mike
way.
Green.
Mike Green.
Bang!
So, no, to answer your question, no, I'm not that creepy. $6,600 is insane. I'll be curious if actually someone ends up going through with it. You can win the bid, and then people will try to back out. So we'll see if that's what happens. What's the sporting event or anything where you would actually want some weird artifact from?
I want sand from Augusta National for the Masters, but the last guy who did that went to jail.
Jail?
You can't.
Yeah, they're not. They do not mess around. It was
like felony quantity
was,
or what?
It was Sunday. They were done with that hole, so the crowd was moving on. He takes an empty beer cup, goes into one of the bunkers, and just scoops up a little bit of sand. They arrested him, threw him in jail, and then prosecuted him to the fullest extent of the law.
What's the charge?
Good
what's the charge?
Mess.
Theft, trespassing.
Theft, but it's got to be worth like more than $500,000
well,
to be
is.
A felony.
Probably is.
How do you quantify the value of sand?
Someone would spend probably thousands of dollars for it.
Because they probably ship it in from a very special location, and they're the only people who get it. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So when my brother goes to the Masters this year, and I know he's going this year, I shouldn't tell him to steal
No, you
sand
should. No, do it for me. I'll pay him.
How much would you pay?
$100.
Oh, that's not enough. Unless he has a bunch of small little vials. You know, they sell that fountain water at Kauffman Stadium still.
Just don't get caught. There's a way to do it without getting caught. Come on.
I think that's it. You just got to plan better. That guy was too loose and casual with it.
Yeah.
You got to come with a better, stronger plan if you're going to do it.
Like, don't just saunter into the bunker and shove your empty Bud Light cup in there. Just sprinkle a little bit into your pockets. Put it in a Ziploc baggie and walk away.
Pretend like you're standing, kneeling down to tie your shoe.
Act like you trip and fall.
Scoop a little into your shoe.
Act like you tripped and fell into the bunker. And then while you're writhing around, you just sort of grab a little bit and throw it in your pocket.
And then leave it in like dust. Yeah, then dust yourself off and take whatever you can get, even if it's a thimble.
Act like somebody shoved you. Or you could act like a decrepit old man. Yeah, let's get an old man. Let's get an old man to do it, because they'll be like, well, he just fell. You know, he's not in great health.
Someone told us yesterday, by the way, after I said we were only looking for an intern 55 or older, that that's against the Equal Opportunity Employment Act, and they were going to report us.
That's right.
They said
Do
we
it.
Can't just hire
Sue
someone
us. Do
over
it.
55 who's an intern. We are forced to open up our internships to anyone of all ages. Just know you're less likely to be selected if you're under the age of 54. Honestly, you got a better chance with each age you are. 55, by the time you get to like 91, you're pretty much guaranteed.
You're accruing points every time you hit your birthday and get a year older.
So that is the trash of the day here on Cody and Gold as practice is about ready to wrap up in front of us. And today, the first full day of fans, not just season ticket holders. That new hill that they have on the other side, the fullest we've seen it so far since we've been up here. And that, if you're thinking about coming up and you've reserved tickets for later in the week to come up to Chiefs training camp, based on what we've seen so far, which is the offense for the majority of the time early on is in that far corner, Just give me that. If you're trying to just watch Mahomes, you might want to make your way to the far left hill.
That back hill.
Yeah, that might be the spot. If you want to watch the defense, then right up front, that's going to be the spot for you. But if you're based on what they've done the first few days, if you're trying to watch Mahomes in the offense and some of the offensive line, they've been putting him in the far left corner, which would be right in front of you if you're making your way up and you go to that back hill if you're coming up this weekend.
That back hill has been mostly open. It's way less crowded than this hill on the closer side. It's a little bit further walk, so you got to be willing to go across the field, but it's certainly worth it if you can do it. And also, if you missed in practice today, by the way, Anthony Hitchens did not practice because of the hamstring injury yesterday that Andy Reid talked about, and Travis Kelce left practice early with an undiagnosed, or I don't know. We don't know what the issue was, but he
walked up the
early.
Hill on his own. So
we'll see what comes of that as well.
Our training camp coverage here on 610 Sports Radio presented by Blue KC. Live healthy with Blue KC. Coming up next, we're expected to be joined by either Travis Kelce or Chris Jones. And if it's Chris Jones, we'll ask him what the transition to defensive end has been like so far in camp.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.